So there's this thing that happens as this becomes real, this awareness of our spirituality, of our spiritual being, the growing into the understanding of this child of God, the spiritual being that each of us are, and this beautiful awakening to that that takes place. There's an opening that begins to happen, an opening where we let this blessing, this intelligence, this care, this love move in and through us. And we've looked at different parts of that, but it comes back to some very, very, very simple experience that in whatever we're doing, we're looking at how to let that divine love into our experience at an ever greater level. It's really quite simple. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. Simple and easy are different things, okay? So it takes a little work to look at how do I really let the love in? How do I let it fill and touch my being? I got to look at an experience of a woman who went through some of the steps that opened her to that love. And in one of the things that happens in Unity churches all around the world, really, is that we have regular times where we focus on the experience of abundance. Because one of the things we understand is that as we open to let this love in, we let it care for us at all the different levels of our being. And we let it care for us at that emotional level where we can feel peace and fulfillment. We also let it be there at that material level that lets us have the things that really empower this purpose of being and let us touch the beauty and the quality of life. And we let it be there at that relationship level that brings that those quality experiences between us that nurture and feed our soul. And of course, at that beautiful level of guidance. So because we focus on opening to that, we regularly do classes. I think we've got one going on at present. I think we're in third week, but the class that I want to share with you, they were in the eighth week of working on opening and really expanding this, letting this love get in so that people would open to more goodness. And in the class, there was a woman, her name's Marie. And Marie, by the eighth week of the class, was finding herself quite frustrated. Okay, the people around her, you know, had been sharing each week different kind of demonstrations of abundance that they'd had. And, you know, Marie hadn't had one. So, you know, it's been 8 weeks. Come on, God. You know, you haven't done that? Come on. Yeah, it's time. Okay. Well, she was kind of at that plate, and she was a little frustrated. So one of the people in the class said to her, "Well, Marie, what would let you feel abundant? What would let you feel like God really loved and cared for you?" So Marie reflected for a moment, and it was just kind of spontaneous, came out, and she said, "A red Mercedes." I said, "Well, Marie, if that's what would do it for you, we'll hold that for you. Okay, we can do that." And then that next week, what happened was Marie and a friend were talking. And her, you know, they're good friends, and they were just sharing as friends do. And suddenly the friend said, "Oh, I had this thing happen, and I was thinking of you." He says, "So I've got this friend that's wanting to sell his car, needs to do it really quickly. So he's really made it so inexpensive. Would you like a red Mercedes?" You really got it. You came to mind when I heard about that. So Marie said, "Oh, well, okay, I'll take a look." So shortly, Marie is driving around by the end of the week in the red Mercedes. And she's driving along. And then when the class got together, she shared an experience, and a friend of hers captured the experience, and I'd like to share it with you. So as she was driving the road happily in her red 450 SL Mercedes, a voice kept speaking to her from within. This was the first time she'd ever had such an experience. The voice kept saying, "Didn't you know that I've always taken care of you? Didn't you know that I've always taken care of you?" She had to pull over to the side of the road and stop because of the tears of joy that were running down her face. That was her demonstration. To know that love. To have let it in. That's our work. Open to that love. Let it in. In understanding that dynamic, how we do it, how we go about it, Jesus is, for me, again and again, the great teacher of abundance. It shows, the teachings show up in all the great traditions. But I find that he focused on it so much because his teaching was so much about this experience of this divine love and expanding our ability, our awakening to our spiritual self so that we would let it in. There's a couple places that kind of come together for me in the as the Gospels report his teaching. The first one, which kind of gives this core focus that it's about, goes, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So that shift of awareness from the things to the presence, to this love, to this spiritual connection to this source. And then in another one, there's another insight into how that takes place. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Okay, now let me share here this in when a spiritual story begins, generally it's setting up what it's about. Okay, so this takes place at night by a person who is an educated, knowledgeable leader. Okay, it's a picture of the unillumined intellect. In other words, where the person has learned and understands spiritual teaching intellectually, but it's at night. It has not yet illumined in their being, so that is their experience. So that's that part of us that is being addressed there. And Jesus responds to him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now let me say, there's a lot of energy around this phrase out in fundamentalist Christianity. I don't particularly understand it that way, but it's a beautiful, beautiful concept if that's yours. But let's look at how Jesus goes on and teaches and illustrates this. He says, and Nicodemus responded, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So it gives a real two states of consciousness that he outpictures here. One is flesh gives birth to flesh. In other words, he's talking about that unaware, that part of us where we are simply aware of ourselves as these physical beings. And we are perceiving that way. We're perceiving through the mind, which is the instrument of this body. And as such, we see ourselves separate. We see ourselves in lack and having to obtain from the outer. And that's a natural response of the mind because of the way it perceives. But then he gives an alternative. He says, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So he's talking about this being born into a greater perception. Now, part of the understanding of that is here and now, in any moment. This is a spiritual capacity within us to step into spiritual awareness, to perceive spiritually. And then he says, wow, that, you know, it's different when you're perceiving that way. Then he talks about the wind and how we're no longer limited to this simple, I have to go get it relationship. Look back at Marie's experience with her Mercedes. She didn't go out shopping for a Mercedes. Okay, she let herself feel what that love was like and acknowledged what she wanted. She opened to that. But in that love, it lifts her to a different place. That spirit gives birth to spirit, so her world could respond from a higher level of care. It was about opening, and then it could flow into her life. Now, even though this is from a guy about 2,000 years ago, about 600 years before that, a Chinaman, whom we know as Lao Tzu, shared this perception, which I see as kind of talking about the same thing. He says, the master does nothing, yet he leaves nothing undone. The ordinary man is always doing things, yet many more are left to be done. Okay, so we're the master, the one who has awakened to the spiritual self, the one who is connected to and lets this love in to care for them, doesn't need to go efforting. That flow cares and takes care of all to the fulfillment of that life. The ordinary man, the person asleep yet to the spiritual self, is always doing things, yet there are many left to be done. Okay, two states of consciousness. I want to share something with you. It's an experience that I shared some time ago, but I want to go back to it because it taught me. It's where I began to learn that it really is this capacity to let the love in that makes the difference. Now, the asking and the being willing to have your life work in that part, that's important. But it is the letting the love in that makes the difference. So this is Catherine and I were living in Montana, and we were up a hill, and the only way up that hill was with a four-wheel drive. Now, we had a Jeep, and the Jeep was in the garage, where Jeeps often live. Anyhow, it was getting fixed, and our little Volkswagen could get to the bottom of the hill, but it couldn't get up, so it was way down there, and that was really a very uncomfortable way to live in Montana. So the Jeep was getting fixed. We got a call from the garage, says, hey, it's all fixed. Here's how much it's going to cost. I said, thank you. I'll be down to pick it up. Except we had no money. None. And so I told Catherine it was ready. And she said, well, what are you going to do? And so I had to look. Here's this world that I'm in. Now, I know that I'm provided for, and yet here's a need. It's a real need, and there's no provision. So something's not working in me. I understand that's consciousness showing up out there. So I had to take care of me. And so I knew where to go. I knew to go to that love. So I went and simply sat down in a quiet place. And after having a little argument with God, I decided to get quiet for a moment. Finally got that out and the mind began. And I just sought to open to that love, to let myself feeling it, to sit there until it filled me. And it took a while. But that resistance began to release, and that beautiful love began to fill my being. And I knew it was real, it was powerful. It was so great that I knew whatever my need was would be cared for. That's the way love is. When that we let that experience happen in us, we let that love in, the other loses its reality. The reality is the love. This divine presence. When I was done, there was no doubt in my being that this was cared for. Now, I had no idea how. I hadn't done anything than go about 50 feet and sit down and for a while and come back. But I knew it was cared for. So a couple hours later, it was time to go into town if I was going to get it. So I told Catherine I was going into town, and she just smiled. And so I got hiked down to the bottom of the hill, took my little Volkswagen, went down down the lane, quite a ways until you get to the little dirt road. And I was just about to get to the road, and a car turned into the lane. I had to pull over so the car could get past, but it didn't go past. It kind of drove up beside me, and the driver there, lady, rolled her window down, and so I rolled mine down, and she said, "Oh, I'm so glad I met you here." She said, I really have to get right back. I have some things to do, but I really had a sense you needed this." And she handed me an envelope, and she backed out, turned around, and took off. And I opened the envelope, and it was a check for more than enough to take care of the car. So that wind thing, I think he was really talking about something there. You know, whether it's the Mercedes or the Jeep or the relationship or the healing or the peace or the guidance. It's there. Let the love in. Now, yeah, it helps to ask, to make it clear, to acknowledge where we're at and where we're not at. But what makes the difference is letting that divine presence fill our being, awaken us to its presence and oneness in our lives. I let God's love in. Willing to do that? Join me.
I let God's love in.
Let's feel that. That's a very real experience. Now, when I've gone to do that, sometimes it takes me a while. But that I let God's love in is so important, because it reminds me there is another alternative. There's another moment that I can take and experience life differently. Together,
I let God's love in.
Again.
I let God's love in.
Again.
I let God's love in.
So as we journey this week and we come to those places, now I hope it doesn't have to do with cars. I find them more frustrating than some other things in my life. But as we go along and we find those disconnects, we find those places where we've chosen confusion over clarity or disharmony over connection or whatever is going on. You willing to do that? Just remember and open to let God's love in. You are so loved. And what a blessing it is to all of us. Because you see, that powerful love would move its blessing into you and through you. And in that awareness and that experience of love that fills your life, you lift us all. Bless you.